Sabrasuri is this sensuality that's inside of us that sits on physical self-love and releases endorphins in the body. And when you learn how to tap into it, it's like you tap into this power in your body where you go like, ooh, that feels good. Mm-hmm. And you feel so good about yourself. It's about, there's self, because together with the other elements of somatic intelligence, you feel the self-worth and you feel the self-love. And and what you were talking about before, when we use the whole five elements, so elegance gives me the pride and the self-worth and the mindfulness, the quietness of being myself, it's the being. And then the intention is all about the doing and achieving and perseverance. It's that force when we want to achieve. Then we have tempo because we need to have to enjoy what we're doing. Because it's like if there's no enjoyment, we burn out. But then we have the sabrosura, which is all about the love and the containing and breathing and movement that's water and all of that, which softens the power. And then you have the mystery, and the mystery is where you get to play.
Life is better when you breathe. Welcome to The Breathing Edge, the podcast where we share tips, techniques, biohacks, and interviews to help you achieve peak performance in all areas of your life.
If you truly want to get the edge in life, you can find it right here at The Breathing Edge. And now, we are your hosts, Shane and Angelina Saunders.
Welcome to The Breathing Edge podcast. Today we have a very special guest, a beautiful woman that we met at A-Fest in Bali in November of last year. We have the beautiful Chen Lizram. And I want to just tell you a little bit about her so you know just how amazing she is before we jump into the work she does and who she is as a person as well. So Chen's executive bio, basically she's a life coach and she's an award-winning social entrepreneur, best-selling author and professional dancer. And she's got some moves, I know that. these are really just some of the words to describe who she is. But really, for Chen, it's about her work. And since 2010, she's been helping people who struggle to return to their true selves through the power of somatic intelligence. She's developed new techniques that are literally transforming people's lives every day. Chen's process is about body work and experience. So with clients from all around the world, she offers somatic intelligence workshops, one-on-one coaching sessions, training programs that incorporate a unique method that she's developed over 20 years of experience. So with a massively popular TED Talk boasting more than 8.5 million views, she offers unique keynote presentations to audiences big and small across the globe. So as a best-selling author, Chen's relentless in her ambition to bring meaningful change to every client she works with, and I know that to be true. Recently featured in New York Times, her work continues to make headlines and has been covered in Canada's national newspaper, The Globe and Mail, UK Cosmopolitan, Ego Magazine in Spain, and many other outlets, including Lewis Howes' popular podcast series, School of Greatness.
Oh, that's it. That's all we got time for. Just your info.
Wow. Seriously, how can you sum that up, really?
Wow. With one breath.
I know.
You know, it's kind of funny because I woke up this morning and I had this dream that was repeating itself the whole night. And I didn't realize it was a dream till I woke up. Yes. And I can't remember now what it was because there was such a gap between them. And there was something that is changing right now in Cuba because I've been traveling for the last 13 years to back and forth to Cuba and they didn't have internet and internet is coming in now into the phones. Mm. And I was having this conversation with myself this whole morning about the difference between being famous and being popular. Mm. And my experience in Cuba, because you're reading this and I'm thinking about this, and it's like in Cuba for years, people that were, you know, very well known in the country for their artistic works or whatever it was, didn't have money attached to it.
Yeah.
So they were at the same level as the regular people. So you would see them on the street. So they were considered popular.
Yeah.
And not famous. And this is now changing. And I was thinking because sometimes people, you know, contact me because of the TED Talk or Lewis Howes things or whatever I'm doing. And they come like, I'm a famous person. And I'm like, no, popular. I don't want the title of being famous. It's like, it puts you out there. Like you're not at connection level. And it's like, I don't want that. I don't want to be famous. I want to be popular.
I think it's one of the reasons why we connected with you so instantaneously is because you are so grounded and so connected, and you're all, what I love is your willingness to always be expanding your knowledge and connecting with people who are doing the same.
And because you're really cool. I mean, you guys are cool.
You know, the other thing for us, Hen, too, was that, you know, we're very big believers in the body being connected to the mind. And, you know, we see a lot in the work that we do. We see a lot of people that sometimes need to have their head chopped off so that they can, you know, start to be grounded into their body. And that's what really, you know, why we were really interested in having you on, and because we're really interested in your methodology and what you do, because it's all, you know, a lot of it is about
somatic and
getting into the body and the wisdom that's contained in the body.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you think somatic intelligence, some people don't know, but somatic means soma, which is body. Mm-hmm. So when we say somatic intelligence, it's really the intelligence inside of our body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I constantly listen to what my body is saying, and I'm constantly balancing as a result. There's no point where I disconnect from the body. So if something comes out of balance, let's say last week, my body started screaming for help. Mm. I started having, I'm getting over an injury for a while, and suddenly my arm started hurting, and it's like my shoulder, and it's like, there were like all these signs. And normally when these things happen and we're right towards a goal or whatever, we ignore it because we set our mind to do something, right? And I was like, I went like by 4 days. I said to my team, look, my body needs to balance. I've done something that's wrong in the balance. I took 4 days back and I was like, I need to balance this back. And then I was like, okay, I looked at the elements and I'll explain them in a minute. And I was like, oh, I deleted enjoyment for 2 weeks. Oh. I understand what's missing. Oh. I know why my body is screaming.
How good is it though to have something where, you know, like a blueprint or a reference that you can do that? It's super.
Yeah. So I think the first thing to explain to people is that the way I approach somatic intelligence is really like we all have an imprint from the past, the way we were born, how we were raised, things that happened to us, good and bad. It created an imprint. We come as kids and we don't understand the world, and then we interpret it from what happens to us. Sometimes these interpretations are just stories that we created, but they're not the reality of it, which is what impacts our confidence and sense of vitality and different things. So these become either somatic freezes, or they become emotional blocks, you know, that's there, that preventing us from what we want to do. So really to impact your performance, you have to find those blind spots or places of where you're ineffective and understand what is there, the root cause of it, and then understand how to release those, right? When you do, something opens up. You know, when we were at AFES, I was doing the breakout session and I was doing some of this work with them, and this guy, you know, I gave them time to like raise their hands and share a little bit. And this one guy goes like, okay, my issue is that I'm not able to launch the product that I want. You know, I'm not getting the support of my team. I'm not feeling supported and I can't get to what I want. I said, great. What's the root cause? And based on the process that I gave them, and I coached him a little bit on the spot and we dug a little deeper. And from what he said, I got it. So I said a sentence to him. He goes like, and he just, you know, kind of brushed it off. He was like, no, that wasn't it. So then I started asking a question, and then we got to the same place that I told him before, which was that the relationship that he had with his parents, he didn't feel supported by them in the way that he needed to be supported. Mm-hmm. Right? Because a lot of the times, it's not about somebody doing something bad to us. They are also bad parents. But sometimes we just don't know what we caused. Mm. And because he didn't feel supported the way he needed to, he always craved for it. And that need that wasn't met created for him the need, I cannot achieve things without this support that I need. So then every time he goes into something that he needs to achieve, he needs to feel that support. If he doesn't have that support, he can't succeed. Mm-hmm. So then you have to go to the emotional freeze there. It's just a story that a kid created. You're not in the same place. And basically release that freeze. So now he will learn how to create, for example, emotional anchors inside him where he doesn't need that support necessarily. Mm-hmm. And he would feel his own strength. We do that, by the way, through pride.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting because pride is a negative conversation for a lot of people that confuse pride with arrogance.
Mm. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, it's interesting, and you'd see this a lot, Hannah. It's interesting what people's version of the words are. you know, like what they couple to the words, you know, like as you mentioned, pride could mean, it means probably 8 billion different things to 8 billion different people on the planet, right? Like it's so different. There's a collective thought around it, but I've often experienced where people will have their own little thing attached to it. And I mean, that's what you're sort of kind of describing is that, you know, people have got that. And what I love about, you know, watching you work when we're at A-Fest is that when I've seen lots of people work with people and they're doing cognitive stuff, they never go to the body. They kind of leave it at the head or the language and then they never go into the body for it. And that, you know, that's why we love what we do with the breathing too, because it goes into the body.
The embodiment is really, really, really important. So I was demonstrating to you before that a lot of people come and go like, I want to be a leader. And you go like, okay. And then someone comes and says, I want to be a leader. And they're embodying it. Even the tone of voice changes. And when you're really embodying what you're trying to do, there's no gap between the in and the out. That's when you become really powerful. So most of the workshops and most of the tools that we get and the trainings and corporations and stuff are mind-based, which is not bad. But it's not the only thing we need. So when I'm doing the work, I'm coming in through the body. And one of the most amazing things about that is that I can shift things a lot faster than a lot of times psychologists can. I'm not promising everything could be resolved through somatic intelligence, but people sit and they talk. So like, just to give you an example, right? Like if I, let's say you never fell in love. And I now had a conversation with you and I was like describing to you these feelings when it goes through the body and the butterflies and all this stuff and you've never experienced it. You'd be like, oh, sounds nice. You're not feeling it. You don't get it. Yeah. It's in your mind. But then let's say that now you had this experience where suddenly you fell in love. You're like, oh my God, I got it. Yo, the feeling. Right? Like, as soon as you feel it, you understand it.
Yeah.
So when we feel through the body, because we're feeling, it's like we get that sense and we feel what it means for us. We know if it's right for us or not right. When we feel something, we know. When it comes through the mind, how many times someone told you, look, what you need to do to resolve this is do this, and then it would be resolved. We're like, okay, and you don't know what to do with it and it doesn't click in. But if I get you to the same place through the body and make you feel what that means, you will get it right away. I mean, I'm seeing sessions where people come broken with confidence. I'm talking about people coming in, for example, to a session and you go between 1 and 10, how is your confidence? They go like 2. And they will literally within, I use a power pose that changes the chemistry in the body in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Amy Cuddy spoke about it in Harvard. Within 10, 15 minutes, they will be at 6, 7, 8. Now, it doesn't mean that they know right away how to sustain it, because normally there would be a cognitive thing that's also blocking the somatic. Well, you have to work on both. But the results through the body are incredible because we understand faster through the body than through the mind.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of your videos on that pose, the power pose, and watching them walk and then getting into the sabrosure. And then and that, just even watching it, I'm going like, oh, you know, because it's because it's like an unleashing of full self-expression and the ability to have permission to feel confident and have permission to feel sexy and to feel like you can move your body rather than stuck.
All of you.
Something.
All of you.
Yeah.
Being whole. What you're describing right now is being whole. So you were talking about the subrosore, so maybe we should explain to people what the subrosore is because they'll be confused.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead excited.
Because it felt like you want it. I get it. So the subrosore is basically the, you know, the sensuality that's inside each and every one of us. This is the female sabrosura. There's the male sabrosura. But when you see it, you go like, ooh, what is that thing? It's like, I call it the Jedi force when you do that. And you go like, no.
Life force.
We are born with the sabrosura in our body. It doesn't matter which culture you're born. You're born as a human being with it. So it's not about, oh my God, could I ever learn it? Can I learn how to tap into it? That's the conversation. Right? Think about it like this. If I took a baby that was born in Japan, if they were born in Japan, they might think that they don't have it. But if I take that baby as soon as they were born, I would put them in Cuba, will they have tons of sabrosura with this culture? Yes, because it's cultural conditioning. Mm-hmm. So we're born with it. And it's cultural conditioning, whether we understand how to tap into it or not. The subversory is this sensuality that's inside of us that sits on physical self-love and releases endorphins in the body. And when you learn how to tap into it, it's like you tap into this power in your body where you go like, ooh, that feels good. Mm-hmm. And you feel so good about yourself. It's about, there's self, could together with the other elements of somatic intelligence, you feel the self-worth and you feel the self-love. And mm-hmm. and what you were talking about before, when we use the whole five elements, so elegance gives me the pride and the self-worth and the mindfulness, the quietness of being myself, it's the being. And then the intention is all about the doing and achieving and perseverance. It's that force when we want to achieve. Then we have tempo because we need to have to enjoy what we're doing. Because it's like if there's no enjoyment, we burn out. But then we have the sabrosura, which is all about the love and the containing and breathing and movement that's water and all of that, which softens the power. And then you have the mystery, and the mystery is where you get to play. Mm. Now, it could be sexual play where it's like, could be you, but it could also be just charm. Mm. Right? Charm is also a form of play that's non-sexual. So when we have these little dials and we understand that all of us have these five elements and we need to calibrate them in a way that's exact for us, for each person, it's not a generic thing, it's for us, then it's based basically on the stage in our life, how old we are, what we're going through in life, right? Different ages, we meet these things differently. Cultural identity, like what I explained before, mm-hmm. and then my self-identity, what's my personality, am I an introvert, extrovert, right? So then we learn how to calibrate them and control them, and in different situations we can turn something up or down and kind of calibrate. And also when we feel suddenly sick or overwhelmed or something, we need to, like I was saying before, I was like, what was missing? Ooh, turn down tempo, enjoyment. So let's turn it back on, and then it might my system balance back. So the subversura itself is something that's just, I think the first time that I saw it, it was so mesmerizing. I was like, I want what they have. Give it to me. Like, but I would come to my teacher and I would rub my arm and go like, give me some. Like, and then like the shoulder and go like, pass on some to me. And then I would go up to her and I go like, copy, paste, copy, paste. Give it to me. I want all of it. Because it's just, you've seen the videos, you see it and go like, oh. As a woman specifically for what you saw, I mean, there are different things that I do. Some of them are for men and women. Some of them are men, some just women. The one that you're talking about is really about women, female change makers and leaders and even just women in general embodying their full power with softness.
Mm.
And it is like, it's really about coming back home.
Mm.
Truly, deeply coming back home where you kind of go like, wow.
And I notice it's a huge missing for so many women.
It's massively missed in everywhere, even in business. You know, my experience is that the sexual energy or that life force energy is the thing that drives. It's the thing that drives, but everyone's afraid of it because, you know, they mix it up with, you know, whatever their sexual experiences have been or past or cultural or these
things. Me too. Sexual harassment.
And it gets, yes. It kind of gets broken as well, you know, and like we see it a lot. We're like, you know, we'll have those conversations with people and, you know, because you build rapport and you can have that conversation, it's okay with some people. But a lot of people, you say, when you bring up that concept, a lot of people shy away from it straight away. And so I think that's a, you know, that something is definitely missing.
So when you talk about that sexual energy, this is really important actually, because the sexual energy is the one element everybody's afraid of because it's a gray area.
Yeah.
And what is really interesting when you think about it is that the problem is not really with the sexual energy. It's the lack of respect, which is really the elegance.
Yeah.
In the past, there was respect of boundaries. Men weren't, for example, forcing themselves on women. So there was like that elegance that existed. When that turns out, suddenly mystery, which is the element of the sexuality, becomes really dangerous and really too much. But it's not really the problem there. The problem is somewhere else. It's what balances it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. Because people are looking in the wrong place. But see, I think because it's not, sometimes it's, they feel like it's not important, you know, like, you know, it's important to, you know, get this done and that done and be productive. But it's the missing link to...
So I'll tell you why it's so important.
Yes.
And this is really interesting. So I work with a lot of people that I'm coaching one-on-one. And some of the people come and they lose that zest in life.
Yes.
Like there's the kids and then there's, you know, the work and they just go into this routine. And besides the sex life that becomes really boring, they also don't have that spark. And you'll hear them sometimes say, you know, when I was younger, I was like so attractive. People were attracted to me. They're like, I'm not even interested in somebody else. I'm happy with my partner. But it's like people are not attracted to me anymore.
Roommates. We say they're roommates. Just roommates.
Yeah.
You know, they're just functioning roommates.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
So here's the really interesting thing about it. I mean, I've been training for the last 13 years in Cuba through the body on through these elements. And when it comes to the mystery element, that's the one that gets me the most vitality. Mm. Because there's something about being able to tap into your own attractiveness that makes you feel really young and poppy. And I'm not saying now even attracting to you, just the feeling of it. Just when you're able to, I had a client 2 days ago, she came in and she was talking about how with her partner, there's a problem there with passion. And she used to be hot and now it's dead and they're roommates. So she's trying to bring it back. So I was like, okay, so you want me to teach you how to seduce? Is that what you're saying? Your husband? Like, all right, bring it on. So we went into the studio and I was starting to teach her. And at first, it's awkward for people. Yeah. Why? Because they shut it down. Yeah. So it's like she suddenly goes like, well, what if he's going to think that it's stupid? I said, well, if you think that way, he will think that it's stupid. If it's authentic from you really wanting to desire, you have to go through that freeze zone that you went to wake it back up till you guys get used to being there.
We have just had this conversation, not the same, but what you're talking about.
I'll tell you my story in a minute.
We have had this conversation with each other from a situation that happened when we first got together. And we sat the other night and we did a little bit of analysis of it. We were like, oh, wow, I can see how that would have came off. Like,
yeah.
So
I did exactly that. I went to go seduce and he was like, oh, yeah, that looks good. And then like kept watching TV. I'm like, you? And I like took my outfit. I threw it in the bin. I'm like, you're on your own, man. You know, I'm like, it makes sense because it, like what you said rang true for me.
It wasn't authentic.
It wasn't authentic.
Yeah,
One, it wasn't authentic. And second is that you have to understand that waking it back up after you went into that, okay, we got to provide, we've got kids, we've got business, and then waking it back up, there's going to be a little bit of a phase where it's going to be a little awkward till you fully get there.
Yeah.
So like, for example, in the session where she was learning this, at first it was completely awkward for her. By the end of it, she's like, oh, give me some more. And I'm like, I'm waiting for the, like, to hear what went on in that date. I was preparing her for a date with her husband because I was like, she's like, he's saying there's not enough romance, there's not enough this. And she's like, so we're going on a date. I'm like, what are you doing in a date? And she goes like, well, we're going to go to a really nice restaurant. I'm going to dress nice. I'm like, that sounds like every day. Like, what is different about it, right? So you're working on these things. So when you tap into your power, and it has, like, this is just crazy, but it has also to do with how you're holding your body. Mm. So when I'm holding my body, I'm really making myself long. I'm opening up the chest. This is true for men and women alike. And as a woman, I'll pop the chest a little bit more and tilt the hips a little bit back without releasing the stomach. And it's called in Spanish, llamar la atención, to call for attention. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, the guy will notice you. And it's funny because you can try this on the streets in Havana. And as soon as you add the llamar la atención, all the guys look at you. And you know it's working. Uh-huh. This is the perfect. This is why we do the retreats in Havana for the women, because it's like, oh, you just got the feedback. You know it's working. So then it's really amazing because when you learn to feel that way, I sometimes walk around the house like this to myself and I'm just like, ooh, yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels so good. Then I go out on the street and I'm feeling good. I'm smiling at the world and people are smiling at me and it impacts the vitality and how we feel and how confident we are if we believe that we could achieve it. We think it's small, but I'll tell you the one sentence that summarizes it. The body language we used to have generations ago had the benefit we now crave.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Mm. I know. I know. And I think that it's interesting because we've been talking a lot about going out for a morning swagger. And we're talking like, you know, staying alive, like style, you know, when it's like Shane and I will laugh at each other because it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. The girls are still sleeping. We go out on the road. We're barefoot and they're kind of like gym jams, you know, and we're like, we've got our lemon, hot lemon water in our hand and we're kind of like going like this down the street.
It's interesting, Hen, that of all the, you know,
like, good. good.
Well, that swagger movement, the walking movement, actually is one of the best things for loosening up the thoracic, the hips, everything. And so, like I...
And more than that, loosening up the attitude, because you start taking...
100%. 100%.
Well, when you're going and you're demonstrating to me now the swagger, suddenly like, okay, I don't care what I look like. Yeah. And you're becoming playful.
Yes.
Right. So you let go of that seriousness that catches us as we go get older and we're just achieving kids, family, da 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 da, right?
Yeah, free the body and the mind will follow, you know. Like wasn't that a song? No, it was free the mind and the rest will follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so interesting that something so simple like that, and we thought of you when I was reading this thing, I was like, oh, Hannah, love this. Mm-hmm. Because I was reading it in a
how come I didn't get a copy of that letter?
We're having a conversation.
Materialize on it.
because it was in an actual breathing book that was very heavily related around the movement of the breathing mechanism, and they just had this one section that said that when you walk and breathe, it's probably one of the best things you can do for just releasing energy in the body. And they said, but make sure you have a swagger in there. No, you
amazing.
You added swagger.
Yeah, added the swagger, but it just said make sure you've got some movement in the walking.
Yeah. So what you just said about the breathing. Breathing is so important to what we want to achieve. And when I'm talking about the Subrasura, without breathing, we don't have Subrasura. So when we started teaching, for example, something like the Subrasura, we would do like four count in, four count down, like slow to control the breathing. And then as you were moving the arms, you would release slow. But what is really amazing is that when you did the workshop at AFAS and you did the whole, there was something so feminine about it of like, like you're surrendering in the most, yeah. It's like, and the whole body goes like, thank you, Jess. And then I started doing this in the retreat in Havana.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, that's such a good way to teach them how to get to that softness when you're relaxing here, because you're surrendering, and through the breath, it just takes a whole other form. So we've incorporated this into the retreats. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you. Really, our teachers experienced it for the last time. The Somatic Wonder Team are 10 people. We have 20 women in the program and 10 instructors. Insane. Like you get almost one-on-one instruction. Wow. And I did this. I didn't tell them anything. I just incorporated this into the program, and it's like they all started doing it. And then I get a message from the lead instructor after about a month after the program, and she tells me, she goes like, you won't believe this. I go like, what? She goes like, so... They all practice together in a group and they're performing and everything. And she goes, we come together and we're supposed to do the shows and stuff. And we have moments sometimes together. And then they go like, let's do it. And they go like, and it releases the stress, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes through, and then it's like, so they started using it in their lives. Uh-huh. Before shows and stuff, because I didn't explain to them anything. They felt the benefits. Yeah. They're dancers. They get what it does for them.
Yeah.
So your work is definitely ripple effect.
And so for our listeners, Chen sent me this video where you did that, and you captured it on video. And just hearing all the women, and well, there's some men there, you said, but all sighing together and hearing them, it's like a chorus. And it gave me chills when I was watching it. Even just talking about it, I'm getting chills again, because it's that connection with self. It's that the electricity in the body is finally given permission to flow. And then from there, it's kind of like, it doesn't matter what happens because I feel good.
Yeah, it does. And I want to say something for the men, because there are also men doing this kind of work. So first of all, in that specific one, I went to the guy instructors and I asked them afterwards, because it was such female energy. And I said, well, because I didn't explain something about male, female, we just did it. And I said, well, how did you feel about it? And they were like, oh, we did the same thing. It's just that we came out with a male energy of letting go like this. And it just intuitively got there. They didn't need to explain it. They just went like,
Yeah.
You know, it's a guy, like different energy, but it's like, but it's not like, it comes from a different part of the body.
Yeah.
And I think like what is really, when you think female energy and male energy, female Subrasura, male Subrasura, what is really interesting when I work with the guys with Subrasura is that, you know, sometimes you see guys become very aggressive in business. Like they become singular focused and become very aggressive and it's like achieve, do that. Like the doing becomes like the thing that takes over everything. Mm. And when you bring in the Sabrasura, it's not like they suddenly become female and they like go like us and stuff like that, but it's like it rounds the corners to make them more whole.
Smooths out the edges.
Yeah, and their power becomes so much more effective. Which is amazing. There was a guy that I worked with a while back and he came and he was scattered and he couldn't focus. He almost felt like he came with a massive ADD and his body was like he was falling down here and he gained weight. So he leaned back so he would be comfortable with his stomach rather than having to stand like this. So the first thing I did was straighten his back so that the stomach would bother him, because as soon as it bothers you, you start to do something about it. When you're leaning back, you don't feel it, then you keep it. But when you're here and it's suddenly weight sitting there, then you don't want it. Because it's uncomfortable to carry it. The other thing is that he obviously had back pains because he was leaning back all the time. So he was compensating. So I made his back strong again. And then we started working on the power. So getting the intention to achieve and getting him focused through the elegance. So like both elegance and intention. And it's really interesting because as we were doing this and we're moving forward with all this power, because he was tapping into his male energy, suddenly it was like, oh, you know, this thing was coming out naturally. And you go like, wow, isn't that amazing how the masculine kicks in when he feels that power? And it's like, every time I would go in, I would be like, ah, like a female. And he would go like, ah, the hunter. Like, yeah, I got it. And then when I worked with him, in that power to connect it with softness, and the softness of the guy is a little bit different because it's softness like this rather than the sensuality of the fingers, right? It's like it becomes like it's softer, but it's not like it's not feminine, it's just softer. And then I was combining, it's really hard for men and women to have this power and then at the same time as you're moving have the softness. So then I was combining those two for him, and at first anybody, male or female, hard to put it together. We do this or this. It's either we get soft or we get really powerful and aggressive. But combining the two is where it really something clicks and changes how you lead in life, in every area in your life. And when that started clicking for him, it's like you could tell. It's almost like you could see the emotional click. He was like, something just suddenly aligned. And he was like, he was ready. And what came right after was really interesting because he launched his studio that he wanted to do for photography. He decided to get a divorce. And it's like everything suddenly aligned where he had a lot of questions and didn't know it. We weren't even touching that. We were working on getting him to where he was aligned, and then he knew the answers of what he needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that is absolutely brilliant. I mean, who everybody talks balance, but they talk balance like it's a buzzword rather than actually. Yes, rather, and that's what I love the work that you do.
Well, you gotta
because
feel
you bring
it.
Both.
You
got to
feel it.
Body.
Like you try and describe balancing on a bike to someone. You never can describe it. You have to experience.
Embody it. Embody it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Embodying is all about being with the experience in your body so that you're living it. You're not just thinking about it, you're really living it. You're embodying it.
Yeah. Brilliant. So I know, I'm excited.
We got to do one breath together before we sing the way
we I know. I'm feeling good.
Come on, let's do the one breath. Like, come on. Let's go.
So I want to. I want to. Oh, yes.
One breath. Let's go. Let's go.
Everyone loves them. Someone said to us one day, they said, can we, they wanted to patent the Angie sigh. They said, can we patent your sigh?
Brilliant. I sigh anywhere and everywhere. When I feel good and pleasurable, I sigh. When I'm frustrated, I sigh. When I'm, you know, it just brings back the balance in my body and it allows me.
You release it. But your work is more brilliant than just size. I mean, when you were doing the cycles of the breathing of the triangle and the circle and the square, you know, when there's like moments of holding, it's like I could start tapping into things where I wasn't comfortable, where I wasn't agreeing with things. It's like it triggers so much in us, right? Like it reflects on so much on a deeper level, which is just brilliant.
Thank you.
No, it's we've often just come into, you know, groups of people and the great thing about it is you can do this stuff because you can tell people, hey, you do this naturally, right? Is the first thing. Sighing is a natural thing. And even just introducing them to the platonic shapes, it's just familiar for people. So people seem to gain it's almost like an instantaneous trust. Now, I know that comes from us too, because, you know, we have trust in our process, we have trust in ourselves, we prepare ourselves for when we come in. But it seems to transmit this trust in such a way that there's no need for a lot of explanation, you know. And,
yeah,
and
because you hold the space and then people find it within themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what we want for people. And that's the amazing part of it, is everyone gets what they need from it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And they eventually take it away. Yeah.
And I loved your share as well, if you don't mind me sharing, but you shared after that first session that you were feeling that you were tapping into the play with the breath and tapping into the joy and the other side. And it's funny because, like, you know, one person be crying over here and here's you just joyful and loving it and just unleashing.
Well, it was very interesting because I was exploring inside, because I told you I just did some other breath work before. Mm-hmm. And that kind of opened up my mind to new stuff that I didn't know. And I was in that time of expansion of, like, wanting to learn new things. And then that was like, ooh, another breathing session. You guys were brilliant. Like, seriously, world class. Like, I was blown away by your work. And I was like, because I already cleared things, the things that I felt needed clearing, I was like, oh, this is like a playground. Let me try this. Let me try that. And it was like, there were times where I was going with your instruction. There were other times, like, I was changing it. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant of you to suggest that, because you said, I think it was you, Shane, that said, like, you know, you can take it and you can decide you're going with us, but you can also decide to do your own thing. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, I can do my own thing. Not be like everybody else. And that was another experience. So it was such a playground of trying, like, oh my God, there's this, there's that. I never knew about this. Like, new things that I've never experienced before that were just magical for me.
Amazing.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you guys are brilliant. I stand by your work. We should do a work together somewhere. I'm serious.
I know. It's like, I want to meet you in Cuba.
We will.
Yeah.
We'll
November or June or November, come.
I'll look. Okay. So one question that I want to ask you, and I want to hear what your three things are. We ask a lot of our guests on here, but I know that you and I, we've got a very similar work, and I love your work in doing the head stuff and the body stuff and how you connect it. What do you do personally? What are three key habits that move the needle the most for you that help you feel like you get the edge in life? What are the three things that help?
I try to really meditate every day, no more even than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I just, like, it's a reset in the morning. I try to put in gratefulness in there, some breathing, centering. And I feel like I know what the intention is. It's like, and then I go. And then I constantly listen to the body. I'm constantly in communication with my body. So I'm on a daily basis noticing what I'm feeling, why I'm feeling. So I don't get, I wouldn't say that I don't ever get triggered, but even when I get triggered, I can watch myself from the outside and go, like, I just got triggered. It would be very ineffective to respond right now.
Right. Yeah. And that's brilliant.
Yeah, I have a rule where, like, in relationships, I think that you should never talk when you're angry because you say the worst thing. So it's like, cool off, then come back. So it's like, I really work on myself to notice when something really triggers me. So, like, for example, like a week ago, I was really angry all the time for no reason. And I could tell something was going on in my system and I couldn't figure out what it was. So I was constantly in that feeling when I was talking to every person, like I wanted to bite their head off.
Mm-hmm.
There was no logical explanation to it. So I was like, okay, you have to work hard right now to prevent anything from happening because the system is out of balance for whatever reason. And then I was looking to see whether it was just something, you know, biological that happened or there was something that was triggering just that I wasn't noticing. So I'm constantly in that conversation with myself while I'm working with clients. It's not like I'm like in a Zen cave, you know, it's like I'm constantly in and out at the same time, constantly. And then the third thing for me that really, I think, brings truly magic into my life daily is that I'm constantly working through the body, through the elements. And I mean, I design my life in such a way where I have to do body work daily with clients. So whether I'm in a retreat or I'm coaching people one-on-one or whatever it is, I'm using the very elements that I talked about. So today, suddenly, I get a session where a client comes in and I have to do a lot of sabrosura, and it's like, and then the next day is like a person who's like, oh, they need a lot of elegance and I need to demonstrate and walk with them and embody with them. So I'm daily inside. So I'm constantly reinforcing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm also practicing sometimes just for myself. So like you'll suddenly be here in the middle of the day and it's like you'll, there would be this amazing show that I put on. The crowd was like going, woo-hoo-hoo! And it's like, and I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you after the show. And it's like, so that gets me going. Why? Because I feel the self-expression wanting to come out and I don't go like maybe in an hour and then you lost it. But I'll actually put that song on and I'll do it and then I'll go back to my work. Then I'm constantly feeling those elements and I'm living them and practicing them on a regular basis. Mm. And as a result, not only that I don't lose them, I constantly reinforce them. Mm. Because any habit we want to put in, you know, you go to the gym, you do 1 week with like a trainer, your body gets really toned. You don't repeat it, it's gone after a week or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you want to keep it, you have to keep working with it. And it's the same thing till it becomes second nature to you. Yeah. So for me, it's about the constant work with it. I don't ever stop. I go to Cuba and I keep training every 13 years and I haven't stopped. I will train on this in June. I will train in November. It's like every trip I train again.
Yeah.
To learn more.
Yeah.
And the final question that we have for you, Hen, is what gets you out of bed in the morning? Like, why do you do what you do? What juices you?
Mm-hmm. You know, this is I'll give you the short version of it. People that know me know that my life fell apart completely. You know, it's really about constantly turning the darkness into beauty and impacting other people's life. If I can transform other people's lives and I feel like I'm impacting, I'm making a difference, I feel like I'm in heaven. I'm living inside of inspiration daily. And having, you know, lost my mom to her mental illness at the age of 11 and spiraling out of control and not knowing how to take control back into my life and suffering 10 years of suicidal thoughts, you know, I said this morning in the meditation, I said, thank you to everybody that ever like destroyed my life in such a way that it fell apart so badly, because I wouldn't be living this incredible, magnificent life if not for all these people. But it took a journey of learning how to see that as a gift.
Mm. Yes.
Because obviously I wasn't always there. I was at a point where I was broken, where things weren't working, where suicidal thoughts were there and I didn't know how to stop them. So really, I think, first of all, I don't take my life for granted because I know that I could have been in drugs or dead or, you know, committing suicide or something. And I think that the ability to do what I do that came as a gift, I wouldn't have found this human treasure that I did if I didn't try to heal myself.
Yes.
And as a result of healing myself, I learned these incredible tools that are groundbreaking where I can shift people's lives daily and really make an impact where, you know, someone who comes in, like I just had a client who came in and she was a couple of months ago and she's an HR manager and she wanted to manage better and she didn't understand why her management skills weren't working. And I've been working with her for a couple of months and what I identified when I did her blueprint is that her father got into financial troubles when she was 15 and escaped the country and her mother followed. And that experience of feeling abandoned, they didn't abandon her, she was left with an aunt, but that feeling of being dropped like that caused her to constantly please people to make sure no one ever leaves again.
Wow.
If you're pleasing, that was the emotional freeze from the past hurt. So that every time she needed to ask for something or request or something, what if they would reject me? Mm-hmm. And then she would freeze. So then we identified and then we start working somatically. You have to see her now. She comes back for a minute. She goes like, you won't believe this. I went in and I told my boss what I want. And I didn't stop till I got what I wanted. And she does it with like that intention, but with sabrosura, so it doesn't cause the friction. And she goes like, and she goes in like, she's so proud of herself. She's like, oh my gosh. You know, and being able to see that kind of transformation, a guy who came in not too long ago, and he's an entrepreneur and very successful. And he said to me, teach me how to feel. I said, I'm not going to teach you how to feel. I'm going to teach you how to connect to what you feel. Mm. You already feel. You're a human being. And we worked on, you know, the somatic intelligence, how to really identify these things that happen within him for him to understand the messages that he's getting. And he left from here. He was on the verge of divorce. He left very connected and it impacted the relationship. And, you know, so really what moved the needle for me is being able to impact people like that. Mm. And know that my work shifts lives completely. That's just like, thank you.
That is absolutely beautiful. Well, I want to share with people where to find you as well. If you go to somaticgift.com, there is a free gift download waiting for you called for 6 insights for embodying your true essence, which I love. So I highly recommend you go there and check that out and follow Chen Lizra, because your work is absolutely beautiful. And maybe I might see you in June. Maybe.
We will connect somewhere.
Let me see what I can do.
Are you working your seductive powers on me right now? Oh my God, like seriously. Like that would be a game changer in your business and in your relationship.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, yeah. And besides, I would love being there. And I do think that we should talk about doing something together somewhere in the world.
Yes. Yeah. That would be so much fun. Anyway, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for connecting with us. I love connecting with you. Every time I get a message from you, I'm like, oh, it's Chen. So thank you for your beauty. And thank you for all that you've been through. And now that you're sharing it with everyone else and with the world. The world is a better place because you share your talents and gifts. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. You know how much I admire you guys for what you do and how much I love you. So this is a match made in heaven.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right.
Good.
Thank you for joining us on the Breathing Edge podcast with Shane and Angelina. For show notes and other resources, please visit us at breathingedgepodcast.com. If you have any questions or a subject you'd like us to cover on the podcast, or any recommendations for a guest interview, please contact us at info@breatheme.com. The Breathing Edge podcast is brought to you by Experts On Air Podcast Network.
Disclaimer: the only purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. It is no substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Instead, we encourage you to discuss your options with a healthcare provider. Guests who speak in this podcast express their own opinions, experience, and conclusions, and neither O2 Collective Propriety Limited nor any company providing financial support endorses or opposes any particular opinions discussed in this podcast. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Advertising, which is incorporated into, placed in association with, or targeted towards the content of this podcast is forbidden. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast. O2 Collective Propriety Limited assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with this podcast or for your use of this podcast in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.